way of preparing us for the rest of the book of Proverbs, because you're going to find a lot of those axioms that they talk about in those particular verses. The rest of Proverbs is based upon those. So he's kind of introducing us to how the rest of Proverbs, or the mind, I like to say, the mindset of God he wants you to have. So we'll see. They will point that out when we get to him. Because first of all, in chapter 9, he's going to talk about wisdom building her house. You know, this is how she's preparing her house to receive us, or for us to receive her. It says, wisdom has built her house. This is kind of a summary of what we were just having over there from the last few chapters. It says, she's built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. There's nothing magical about the seven, except that was the basis, foundation, or structure of most all the magnificent buildings back in those days. They would have seven pillars. But there's nothing I could find that each pillar stood for. But it just shows that it was a basic, magnificent structure that was solidly built by having to sell pillars. She slaughtered her meat. In other words, she's preparing her meal for us. She has mixed her wine. We'll stop there, because we all know that in order for to keep fruit juice, for a period of time, it had to be fermented. So there's no question that there was some fermentation there, so there was some part of alcohol in the wine. However, most of it was mixed one-third of the wine as it was fermented, and three-quarters of water. Now, they did add some spices on occasion to it to make it smell good or make it taste a little sweeter. So she's mixed her wine. Basically says the custom then was one-fourth of the wine and three-quarters of it being water. No way would wisdom say you want to drink that fermented wine straight. That's because it does talk about drunkenness and too much of this. So it says she has mixed her wine. It's not pure wine. She also furnished her table. She made it look good. She's opened it up and made it look good to us. She sent out her messengers, her maidens, to call us in. Even by the very first part of the Proverbs that we started, the first two chapters, the call was put out to all of us that sat in this class. I want to give you wisdom. I'm pleading for you to come to me with wisdom. She cries out from the highest places in the city. There's nothing secret about this. There's nothing underhanded about this, as was the lady of ill repute, murmuring and whispering and going around. She cries, this wisdom cries out from the highest places in the city. And number four says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. The simple here means, we're all sinners to a point, some more so than others. And so it does include sinners. But it's really to all men who have not put their life goal together and decided the way they're going to be. You know, at some point in your life, you have to make a decision. I'm going to follow God. I want to do what's right. I want to be honorable. I want to have good morals. I'm just going to drift off into the world. And so the author here is saying, these are the simple people. Before you make up your minds, give wisdom a chance. Before you make up your minds which way you want to go, or going to go. It continues on, it says, and as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Again, not potent wine, but mixed wine. Remember what we said, whenever you see the word of understanding in Proverbs, you want to think of common sense. So what basically she's saying for us, says, if you lack common sense, come eat of my bread. Come drink of my wine that I mix. Forsake the foolishness that's out here trying to entice you into the world. Change your ways. And then finally says, and go in the way of understanding, which go in the way of common sense. So it's a summary of what we've read in for the first 8-point-something chapters up to this right here. And then verses 7 through 12, as I said, many scholars have said it doesn't belong here. It belongs in chapter 10, 11, 12, where down the line. But I think this is God's way of saying, hey, I'm going to start teaching you now in a different method. I want you to be able to receive it. Because there is some validity in what he's saying here as far as approaching people. And I'll give you some... in fact, somebody turn to Matthew 7 and read verse 6 to prepare us for what we're about to read here. A lot of people have taken this and said, don't face up to anybody. Don't rebuke anybody. Don't get into discussions with anybody. And that's not what it's saying here. Who's got Matthew 6, 7, 6?
I do.
Go ahead and read that.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
So what it's saying, no grandiose about how much we think we can confront somebody and persuade them and convert them, there are going to be some people out there that you're going to be wasting your time on. And if you've got wisdom, you'll recognize that. You'll recognize that somebody that has just written you off and just closes their ear, closes their eyes, doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to see it, doesn't even want to be around you. Well, there's going to come a point of this, unless we get so high thinking of ourselves that we can go ahead and convert the world. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right, let's go into verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man now. There's some wisdom put back into you. If you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. And you'll get that. You'll understand that by his response to you. He's either going to tell you, get out of here, I don't want to hear, or he'll say, where'd you find that? Is that in the Bible? Let's talk about that. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man. Give him further guidance, is basically what he's saying, and he will still be wiser. He'll be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase his learning. And that's the God wants to have that level of wisdom that we can recognize when we're wasting our time, when there's other people out there that we could be talking to, or there's a possibility that someone's going to change and listen to us. And we love to hear the words, well, where did you find it? Let's look at it. That kind of response is not coming from everybody. There's going to be some door slammed in your face, I guess that's what I'm telling you. That's what the Lord's telling you. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's go right back to the very first part of the chapter in this book. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, common sense. I'll repeat it again. For by me your days will be multiplied, the years of your life will be added to you. Promises from God, this will come to you if you seek his wisdom. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. In other words, you're going to add value to yourself. You're going to add character to yourself. And if you scoff, if you turn your back on it, then you're going to find yourself alone at the end of this world life. Again, put in such a way that there's no question what God's trying to tell you here. There's no if, and, buts put in here as to how we're going to be received, or you're going to be received, or I'm going to be received when we go out and try to do his will of teaching people and bring them to the Lord. And then verses 13 through the end of the chapter kind of describes that wicked woman that we just finished up with other chapters. How how you can recognize her, how you can recognize those kind of ways or those kind of sins or those kind of temptations. It says a foolish woman is clamorous. I tried to find a good word for clamorous and I couldn't. Like
wanting attention.
All right, that's a better one. Yeah, wanting to bring attention to herself. She is simple and knows nothing. See, she has no shame. She has no shame. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest place in the city to call out those who pass by, who go straight on their way. They ignore them. A lot of people ignore them. But here comes that simple guy. Probably been by this several times looking. If she, it's just the right time, she's right there when he comes by. But that's what he goes there for. He's got sinful thoughts. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Basically what she's saying. She doesn't say it in those many words because she, no one wants to be called stupid or fool. But whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for he who lacks understanding, lacks common sense. He who lacks common sense, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. There is secret enjoyment to sin and immorality. And most of it's done in darkness, and most of it's done in secret. But then you read this last verse here. But he who does not know that are dead. That's the end, going to be the end of your existing life. That her guests are in the depths of hell. That's the place that we'll, that's eternal death, and that's the place we'll end up. Someone turn to Romans 7, 7 through 12. I've got that marked down here for some reason. Let me see where I can find it. Romans 7 through 12.
Mm-hmm. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive, apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good.
So we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We have the law. We have it there backed up by the New Testament scriptures. We know what sin is. And then we know what the price of sin is too. Anybody have anything you want to question about chapter 8 and chapter 9? Anything in there?
Jenny?
Uh-huh.
Real simple, but it's so true. Stolen water is sweet, food eaten in secret is delicious. I don't know how many times I've gone to the kitchen when Chuck wasn't looking and snatch a cookie right before bed and I was up all night. So I know it's true. It works. It, you know, I might not be dead, but I sure was miserable for doing something I shouldn't have done. And I know that's just a pinch, but still the idea that the Lord is telling us that this folly and this lady of folly, we are just, those simple people are lacking judgment. And when you were reading in Matthew, I was getting the notes down there saying that we shouldn't try to instruct people when they're not spiritually ready. with the jewels of God's kingdom, because then they'll come back at you and abuse it and abuse you. And I think, you know, many times we think they know more than they know, or they should know more, but I'm not putting myself on a high horse. We're just trying to give them meat when they're not ready for it, or pushing scripture on them when they don't really know what scripture is all about. So those are two things that I've learned today.
Therein lies why we need and want wisdom.
Right.
I mean, we can waste a lot of good intentions on talking to rocks. You know, they're just not going to listen to us. And you say, well, I don't want to give up on somebody over here. Well, hopefully, by obtaining God's wisdom, we'll be able to discern those things. And make what efforts that we have put out there, efforts on fertile ground. And like you said, because we've been in God's Word so long, and some of us have some meat background, we forget where people are. You know, we think, I'm here, you ought to be up there somewhere. You ought to understand what I'm trying to tell you, but that's not the case. Yeah, Brian.
You know, in the fire service, with the very thing you described is what we call triage. When we have a mass cow of patients, those who are already dead or those who are that we can't help, we don't put all of our resources in and put it in the ones that we can make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do as Christians. There's some that, like you said, that are at the point of death or at death with Christ, the way they're thinking of, you know, and we try to put all their resources in there, but there's a Christian over here that's dying, or there's a person that we can make a difference in their lives by bringing them those vital water, mm-hmm. stuff that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where that wisdom comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You're just talking about knowing the difference, who to focus your resources that you can truly make a difference in their lives, and for those who are just wasting resources.
And I think that was setting the groundwork for Proverbs, for all of us in this class, and for anybody who gets into the book of Proverbs. If we've paid any attention at all, we will have solved some basic foundation blocks that God wants us to have, because the rest of these verses throughout, mainly all of them, are just axioms. They're good and bad. Good, bad. You should do this. You shouldn't do this. You should do this. If you do this to the neighbor, then you hurt. And so when we go through, although they're axioms, and that's why people, when they get into Proverbs, want to zip on through it, because they'll say, I'll never memorize all those things. But you now have the foundation to remember, not word for word, not to be able to repeat them out word for word, but you will have the foundation that will remind you when you've got to make a decision. Hey, I remember reading about that. You know, it's coming back to me now. Well, this is the way I should handle this. When you have a righty neighbor, a friend, trying to get you to go off on a tangent somewhere, well, some of these verses are going to come back to you. And it'll be right in your memory bank. No, I need to stay away from that kind of person. I need to stay away from that place. Yeah, I don't want him to go there. Don't even want to walk on the edge, you know, for the thrill of looking over the side. Just not going to go there. So I'm looking forward to the rest of this book, because this is probably where I gave up on Proverbs a lot. I said, I'll never remember all these things. I'll never know. But now you have a basis. And, of course, this is one thing that God has given you. You'll never completely know wisdom. You'll never gain enough wisdom. Never. It always changes. It always will keep building in you. So I suggest to you go back after we get through this book, and you read some of the stuff in here. And I find it good if you'll start putting it into your own words. You'll hear me say something in here that's not written the way they wrote it. Particularly when I get to see the word understanding, it automatically comes to me, common sense. Common sense. You understand? That's common sense. And so And then you'll find a few other things we can put in here that we can change it and put it in our own words, but yet there's the very same meaning of what God's trying to do. So let's start in chapter 10. We got 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We can do something yet. So these are wise sayings of Solomon. So he's still the author of all these. These are kind of separate, disconnecting maxims, but they're self-explanatory. I can come up here and try to explain them to you, but the only thing I can tell you is try to put them into your words, and you'll understand them probably better than that I can do it. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Just remember, this could apply to a wise daughter makes a glad father, but a foolish daughter. Don't just put the guy in here. It's all of us in here. That's what he's talking about. And that was one of the first lessons we learned in the first chapters about being a wise son and a foolish son. It says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Just put that back in your brain. If you got illicit gains, you might think your pocket jingle from a little money into it, but it profits you nothing in the end. That'll be a very short gain. But righteousness will deliver you from death. In other words, passing up that temptation to get that gain illegally or dishonestly will deliver you from death. Give you, I put right in there, eternal salvation. That's what we're all shooting for, eternal salvation. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He will protect you, basically is what he's saying here. He hadn't forgotten you. If you're one of his, he hadn't forgotten you, he'll not allow you to famish. But he'll cast away the desire of the wicked. He'll let them go their way. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. He's not going to make you do anything. Again, look at verse 4. It's a repeat of something we've already covered. Remember about the ant? We talked about the ant. So here's reinforcement for that. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent, he's going to make rich. And that doesn't necessarily he's going to make you filthy rich with money, but he's going to make you rich in things that provide for your family. He's going to make sure that you're able to provide for your family if you're a worker and you do it his way. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps at harvest is the son who refuses shame. Again, just talking about people not wanting to work. Not having to say, come on in. How you doing?
I'm back. I've got to talk to you personally for a few minutes.
Yes.
I just need to have a talk.
Okay. Have a seat. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Have a seat. Yes, sir.
Been a while.
We're still talking about Book of Proverbs in here.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Randy.
I think you were here last time. Sure was. I remember your face. Glad to see you. You too.
Actually,
Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
I got you
there. If you want to talk to someone right there, we've got another elder right over here. I'd be glad to sit down and chat with you. All right, we'll finish this, guys. We're in Proverbs. We're in chapter 10 of Proverbs. We're talking about a guy who doesn't want to work. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent, the hand of the worker, the hand of the guy who wants to get up every morning and go to work and do it regularly and do it God's way, he's going to make rich. All right, I'm teaching this class this morning, okay? We got a class going on. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son, But he who sleeps at harvest is a son that causes shame not only to him but to his family, because they all suffer. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Evil will overtake him. Proverbs 10, verse 6. The memory of the righteous is blessed. We go back in our memory bank of those people we've known. Those righteous people we remember. We remember the good that they did. We remember the good maybe they did for us. But the name of the wicked will rot. You don't want to talk about those people who've done evil. They have no good reputation. Have you ever heard of someone being naming the child Judas? I've never known anybody to be to name their child Judas. The wise in heart will receive commands. Hopefully that's us sitting here. But a prating fool will fall. One who thinks he knows it all. You can't talk to him. Put your hand, but don't talk to me. So talk to my hand. Don't talk to me. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. I still remember the people that I have, particularly those I have worked with, that I thought above all had integrity in the way they treated their employees, the way they treated the contractors that would come in to do work inside the building, into the buildings, and how they conducted themselves. We also hear about those people who pervert their ways, and they're known for that. Nobody wants to work for them. Nobody wants to go down there. Nobody wants to follow the way they're doing. Who he winks his eye causes trouble, but a praying fool will fall. This is a repeat, by the way, of some of the stuff that we've covered. Remember we said the guy just constantly winked his eye. Don't think West sees me, and I wink my eye over here. Says that causes trouble. That's the way in those days that you tried to do something underhanded. But a praying fool will fall. That's one who says, I don't want to hear it. Talk to my hand. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The things that come out of our mouth, the things that we say, can make people live. They can destroy people. That old saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me, that's not true. There's been many a word spoken that's broken the spirit of someone. Never to be mended. Some of them have even caused people to go off and end their life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. That's basically what we're talking about. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Hatred. Got to get hatred out of our life, out of our heart. Again, I want to remind you that he's just building. This is God's way of building his mindset into your heart, into your soul, into your memory. You won't come back to where you can speak these things verbatim. But now you know that love will cover all sins. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. Wisdom is found, repeat this, watch this. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has common sense. I always put that in there. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. when he says rod on the back, he says punishment. And it can be literally physical punishment. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. He'll keep his, what do you say, you keep talking and you put your foot in your mouth. Yeah, you keep on talking. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's what he considers his protection. The destruction of the poor is their poverty because of their condition in life. The poor often suffers the most, and they're destroyed. Not the soul, but the destruction of them themselves, of their poorness. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked to sin. Again, kind of referring back to how hard you want it. How hard you want something in life. How hard you want wisdom. How hard you want to earn a living. How hard you want to do well for your family. You have good labor. If you're willing to reach it, if you want it more than diamonds, jewels, and other things, it leads to life, a good life. The wages of sin, the wicked of sin. He who keeps instruction is the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Don't ever take offense if someone corrects you correctly. And we all need to be corrected. God corrects us. And sometimes we'll have friends who have our best interests in their heart. They will correct us if they see that we're doing something wrong. Don't ever say, don't be offended by that.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I think a good thing to make mention here, too, about correction is the way in which we would get that with wisdom, the way in which you correct a person, how you approach them. Because I've seen it happen on jobs, or it can just be in a neighborhood, you know, typically with parents, you know, sometimes you fuss at your children for doing something wrong and you scolding them in front of their friends, and if you cutting them up, you know, which making them feel bad and look bad, and of course their friends are going to tease them about it. Same thing when you get in public, you do that in public, you people going to remember that, and they're going to always use that to bring you down, bring your spirit down, and cause you to feel less than what you are, bring your self worth down. But when you want to correct someone, you pull them to the side. You know, give them private. And as the Bible tells us also that if you gonna go to a brother because he's doing something wrong, or sister, and you take another brother or sister with you, that's still just in private. It's not, you don't get up in right after service over a loud talk of person, you know.
All right, and our definition of wisdom, what facet was that he's talking about? Prudence.
Yeah.
You got to know when to say something and how to say something.
Yeah.
You're right. Because you can do more harm correcting someone that needs correction if the timing is not right.
Right.
If the timing is not right. That's one of the facets of wisdom. See, I told you we'd get smarter than you. I told you we'd get wise. That's good. That's good. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. That's what we just talked about. Whoever has hatred has lying lips. Because you can't say you love God and then you hate your brother. You can't say that. You can't say you love Jesus and hate your brother. Well, James tells you that. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. that's going to come back and be repeated over and over again. So remember this. Because we all sometimes get involved in our way of gossip. But it's really, if you can't, it goes back to saying, if you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything about anybody. Don't slander them. If you can't say something nice. How about this one in 19? This is one to go in your memory bank. In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When you're down, when you're around an incessant talker that wants to talk, I'm going to tell you, there's no way in the world they'll keep on talking with their lie. They're going to put something in there that doesn't belong in there. They're going to exaggerate. You know, they'll come out and sometimes put a number in there. They know what good well that number isn't true. So a multitude of words. That's people who want to talk all the time. That one did make my memory bank, by the way. That one. So that's one I can't pull out when I have to. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. In other words, that's a great thing to have.
It's a valuable thing to have. The heart of the wicked, the very soul of the wicked, is worth very little. The tongue of a righteous person is choice silver, valuable. The good you can do with it. But the heart of the wicked is worth little. When we ended there, we got people waiting in the hallway. We're going to pick it up there and continue on. But the rest of Proverbs, at some point, when we've got a lot of these axioms down, we're going to start talking about actual circumstances that we've experienced, or I've experienced, or you've experienced, and how these things will work out that way. Good class. Good to have you all in this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Gary.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you.